Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, praise God. Praise God, hallelujah. God is good, amen. Whoo, glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's going to be fun in here tonight. Amen, hallelujah. Glory to God. If you don't know what I'm talking about, well, praise the Lord. We just come to church because it's a good place to be, amen. Praise the Lord. God, praise God, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I'm excited for what God has for us tonight. I'm excited for the Word. You know, I spent a lot of time in the Word this afternoon and with the Lord. And man, I was just so blessed, as I continually am. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how awesome our God is. Amen. As we spend time with Him, as we reach out to Him, as we just hunger for Him, that He always fills us, continually fills us. You know, and I love too how God always gives me answers. He always continually gives me answers that I don't go wondering for too long. Amen. As I stay hungry for God and I stay in His flow. Amen. He always gives me the answers that I need. Amen. Praise the Lord. And don't you know that the answers are not answers that man makes up, but their answers are always founded in the Word. Praise God. And when we have answers founded in the Word, we have answers that are founded on the truth of God, amen, that cannot be shaken, praise the Lord. I can come up with ideas, and those ideas probably aren't going to help you a whole lot. I know they certainly never helped me, praise God. But we don't do things by our ideas, we do things by God's ideas, amen. I say, well, how do you know you're doing them by God's ideas? Because we endeavor to go by the Word, amen. As long as we go by the Word, it keeps us in God's ideas, amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. I just happen to believe that God's Word is true. I believe that God has given us His Word so that we could know the truth, amen. Yes. And Jesus said, you will know the truth, praise the Lord, and the truth will set you free, amen. So if Jesus said that you will know the truth, then that means there is a truth to be known, and we can know the truth, and if we know the truth, then we will be free, praise the Lord. You say, well, I don't feel free. Well, I just say to you, learn the truth, amen. You get the truth, hallelujah. You say, well, I don't have the truth. Well, you have a Bible, open the Bible. If you don't, tell us, we'll get you a Bible, amen. Praise God, because God's got the truth out there, amen. He's printed it in many, many different languages all over the world, praise the Lord. It's the most read book in all of history, hallelujah. When I mean red, I don't mean the color red, praise the Lord. I mean the R-E-A-D, praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. You say, well, and we got a preacher that can spell too, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight's message is called, What Will You Trust Him With? Amen. Praise the Lord. What will you trust Him with? You know, I've been in the past few days, I've been in a lot of kind of study about how the difference between believing and trusting, amen. And, you know, I was listening to, you know, I like to listen to, you know, different stuff on YouTube or whatever about different ministry questions and stuff. And I just like, one of the reasons I like that is because I like to see what's out there. You know what I mean? I like to see what people are saying and stuff. And there's a lot of good stuff out there. But I'm always particularly interested in what atheists are saying or people that don't believe in God, what they're saying about things. And what one thing that I've come to a very solid understanding of is that most people have a misguided or misdirected understanding of what God is. And so a lot of times when atheists or believers or anti-believers try to use Scripture or their understanding of Scripture against a believer, the sad thing is that often it's just so misguided. And it's often misguided because people have been taught wrong. Because people have taught it wrong, amen? And we're going to see some things tonight in the Word. I believe some really good things. It's revelation to me, amen? But it's not new revelation by any means. It's just what Jesus said, you know, 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. So tonight we're going to be talking about trusting God and what trust really is, amen? And we're going to be talking, first of all, about what the difference between belief and trust is. Because, you know, there is a difference between belief and trust. Amen? We see this a lot in Scripture. We talk in Christians. It's a very Christianese kind of thing to say. Do you believe in the Lord? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in God? Amen? And all these things, I get what people are saying. But, see, using those words like that really is confusing to a lot of people. You say, well, how is that confusing? Because a lot of people just think that if you believe God exists, that's enough. But we know, according to Scripture, that just believing God exists doesn't get you into heaven. I said, just believing in that God exists does not get you to heaven. Anybody can mentally assent to the fact that God exists. In fact, the Bible says that you would have to be a fool to believe that God doesn't exist. Amen. To look at everything and see that. And so if somebody doesn't believe that God exists, they're just a fool. And there's a lot of people out there that aren't fools that don't necessarily believe in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And one of the arguments that I heard this week that was quite interesting to me was the atheist was saying, you believe that somebody can basically live any way they want, but as long as they believe in God, they get to go to heaven. And the sad thing is the Christian didn't really answer that. And why do I bring this up? I'm not knocking another Christian, praise the Lord. I'm not saying that I could have done better. You know, every one of us, if we're in a situation, especially if you're in public, you're not going to answer perfectly every time, amen? But we do need to know how to answer things like this, amen? And that's not the purpose of this message, because we're going to get much more than just that out of it. But this came to me kind of like this, and I'll just present it to you this way. Is there anyone who believes that I exist? Amen? You believe that I'm here, right? Is there anybody who doubts that? Praise the Lord. I'm here, I exist. That's belief. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean you're going to trust me with your social security number. It doesn't mean you're going to trust me with your car. It doesn't mean that you're going to trust me with your kids. Because if you don't know me, praise the Lord, and you know, most of you know me, so I would hope that you would trust me somewhat. If not, we got to question why you're here, right? Amen. Praise the Lord, because there's nothing worse than sitting in a place, and especially a church, and not trusting the one who's in the pulpit. You know, and when I say, you know, we don't put our trust in man, of course. You understand what I mean by that. But, you know, there is a difference between belief and trust. Now, when the Bible talks about belief, it is really talking about trust. Yeah. We understand that word believe does not mean just believe that God exists. You know, in the book of James, it tells us that the demons believe that God exists. We know that they don't get a whole lot of good out of believing that God exists. The devil knows that God exists. He believes more than probably a lot of people in churches because he knows firsthand. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we have to understand that there is a difference between the two. And so when we talk about God, it is imperative that we learn to trust God. In fact, a theme that I have seen through Scripture over and over and over and over are the words trust God or trust in the Lord. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Trust God. What does it mean to trust God? Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you asked because we're going to get to the bottom of this today. Amen. Well, why don't you turn with me to John 3:36. Praise the Lord. John 3:36. Trusting God. Glory, glory, glory. It says here in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Praise the Lord. He who believes, glory to God, he who believes in the Son of God has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son. Now, notice it says here, and I never saw it until just now, praise the Lord, but it just helps prove the point. You know, it says there, he who believes in the Son of God will have everlasting life. But what does it say? He who does not believe the Son. Wow, 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 wow. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? He who does not believe this, doesn't say he who does not believe in the Son. It says he who does not believe the Son. Praise God. What is this referring to? This is referring to trusting in God. Amen. He who does not trust in the Lord, he who does not trust in his way, he who does not trust in God. You know, and it only would make sense that it would be very superficial of God to allow people to go to hell just because they believed in him but acted wrong, but didn't allow someone to go to heaven because they didn't believe in God but they acted right. Because there's a lot of times when the world is, where people in the world are more moral than Christians even sometimes. I'm not saying all across these things shouldn't be so, but I'm just saying it happens. But it matters that we trust in God. It matters where we put our trust. Amen? Praise the Lord. He who believes in the Son, he who trusts in the done. He who trusts in what he did, amen? God put it all on that. He put it all in what we'll trust in. And of course, we know that to understand the word trust, we have to understand that it means to rely on, amen? He who relies, of course, we rely on the Son for salvation, but that's not the only thing we rely on him for. You know, Jesus promised us in John 10:10 that he would give us abundant life at that. Amen. Of course, he was referring to here and now. Amen. But you can't have God's abundant life without trusting God. How can I say that? Because you'll never get into what God has for you if you don't trust him. You'll never follow his plan. You'll never follow what he has for you. And you're never going to see the abundant life. You cannot separate the abundant life of Christ, praise the Lord, and trusting in God. You can't separate those two. And so Christians who never learn to trust God, never learn to trust God with everything in life, they're Christians that will never see the abundance that God has for them. Now, what is the abundant life that Jesus is talking about? Well, we could argue back and forth about exactly what that means. But I know this. I know that we're told that the Holy Spirit will declare to us which things belong to us. Amen. He'll declare to us the things that are ours. And so if we trust in God, if we follow God, he will reveal all those things to us. We don't need to know. We don't need to. But he will show us what abundant life is. But I know this for a fact, that abundant life isn't just barely getting along, not knowing what you're ever going to do and how you're ever going to get past this trial or that trial or whatever it is, whether it's, whether it's a physical trial, whether it's a financial trial, amen. We trust in God, and there's a reason. Now, here's another side of this that we have to understand. If God isn't the God that I'm talking about, if he isn't the God who heals, if he isn't the God who provides, if he isn't the God who strengthens, if he isn't a good God, amen, yes. Praise the Lord, then why in heck would you even trust in him? Yes. Why would you ever think about trusting a God like that? Praise God. Hallelujah. If you came up to me every Sunday, and the first thing I did every Sunday when I saw you, or every Tuesday, whatever, but you came up to me and the first thing I did was slap you in the face, it wouldn't take you very long to not come up to me. Right. Amen. Probably after that first time, amen, you probably wouldn't come up to me anymore, right? Well, some people think that God is always trying to slap them in the face. Yes. And then they say, then they read scripture like trust God, and they wonder why people won't trust God. Because people ain't going to trust a God that's slapping people in the face. God doesn't slap people in the face. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's not killing your grandma. He's not taking things away from you. He's not, people love that. They just love that. Religious people love that, that quote. They love to quote that, misquote that scripture. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But that's not our God. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to trust a God who takes away from me. Now, let me qualify this. If he's removing bad things out of my life, praise the Lord, take it. Yeah. Amen. You know what I mean? And God has moved me away from people or things because it was bad for me because of what it would do. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But God isn't just looking at our lives and seeing, well, let's see how I can test this person today. In fact, we're told that the Bible tells us that we have an enemy on this earth, and that enemy is the one who's attacking us. Everybody's blaming God for what the enemy is doing. Now, I know some of you are sitting there saying, well, Pastor Jeff, you tell me this all the time. You tell us this all the time. Why are you telling? Because you need to hear it again. Amen? Why? Because you haven't learned to fully trust God. How do I know? I haven't learned to fully trust God. Well, this is a process, folks. We're trying to get to that point where we're fully trusting God. Amen? I will tell you this, though. I trust God a lot more today than I did yesterday. Glory to God. I trust him. I trust him a lot more today than I did a week ago, and certainly more than I did 5 years ago when we started all this stuff. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants us to trust him. It is so imperative that he put it all on the line based on trust. Why do you think that the devil would attack this trust? See, this is called common sense. God gave us a mind to think. Amen. He didn't say, you become a Christian, we're going to take your mind away. Unfortunately, some people believe that. They think, well, now we can be morons just because we got to be in faith. Well, listen, faith does not take you away from intelligence, and it doesn't take you away from common sense, especially common sense. In fact, Christians should be full of the most common sense of anybody anywhere because we have the creator of common sense living on the inside of us. Anyone believe that? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we should have common sense. Common sense would tell us that you cannot trust somebody who is mean. Yeah. It's that simple. Amen. And you can't just call God good and say that it means something different than what we understand good to be. God didn't use words that we didn't understand. He used words that we could understand. Amen. And when the Bible says good, it probably means a very similar thing to what you think good is. Amen. Well, glory to God. When the Bible says bad, it probably means a very similar thing to what you think bad is. I mean, isn't this crazy that he would do that? Isn't it crazy that God would give us a book, but also do it in such a way that we can understand it? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I personally cannot translate Greek and Hebrew. I know you're surprised by that, but I can't do that. Amen. But here's the truth of the matter. God has put people out there that can translate. Amen. Praise the Lord. And they brought me a Bible that's been translated, and they can show the translation. There's got to be a little bit of trust in that. Amen. But I just can't believe after all that I've seen in just a few years I've been pastoring, in the few years that I've been a Christian. Right? When I say few years, you know, it's relatively few comparatively. Yeah. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. But God is good. He loves us. He's for us. He wants us to succeed. Praise the Lord. He wants us, even more than succeed, he wants us to conquer. He wants us to get into things. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, the things that I do, you'll do greater things. Ugh. That's kind of hard to swallow when we don't see greater things happening, isn't it? Amen. But it comes in trusting God. We're going to see that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, you're John 3:36. Go to Mark 9:20. Praise God. Hallelujah. Love, 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 love of the word. The word is so good. Amen. Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. Glory, glory, glory. Jesus said, if you can believe, if you can trust me, if you can trust in God, if you can trust in the power of God that's standing before you today, if you can believe, if you can trust in it, all things are possible. Yes. Praise the Lord. It says if. Glory to God. I love this. Romans 12:2, you know, it's a scripture that we're not unfamiliar with. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? Renewing of your mind. You stay there in Mark, but we're pulling this up probably. It's there. Praise God. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, God wants us to prove something in our lives. And what he wants us to prove is what the will of God is. Now, praise the Lord, if we need to prove what the will of God is, it would help to know what the will of God is. Don't you think that Jesus gave us what the will of God? In fact, we understand this, that Jesus told us that he only does what he saw the Father do. In other words, he only did the will of God. Everything he did was the will of God. What did Jesus do? Well, he killed babies. You know that, right? Jesus went around ripping families apart, right? He went around taking things from people. You know, and the people, they were hungry, and they were going to sit there and minister, and what did he do? The kid came up with the loaves and the fish, right? What did Jesus do? He took them, put them in his pocket, and took off, man. That's what he did. He gave and took away. That's not what Jesus did, is it? What did Jesus do? He multiplied it. Praise the Lord. When there was lack, Jesus addressed it. Praise God. When people were hungry, Jesus fed them. How did Jesus feed them? Well, he fed them with the word primarily, but he also fed them naturally. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What did he do with the sick? He just let them be sick and say, oh, it's God's will that you be sick. No, he didn't do that, did he? Healed them. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. What do we see in the life of Jesus? We see the will of God manifested in the flesh. So why do Christians argue over this? Why do Christians not get it? Why do Christians sit here and bicker back and forth of what the will of God is? I don't get it. I'll never get it. I'll never understand it. The Bible tells us that Jesus did the will of God. He went about doing what? Good. Hallelujah. Well, Psalm 37, verse 3, praise the Lord, tells us to trust in the Lord and do good. Amen. Well, if Jesus went about doing good, Acts 10:38 says that Jesus went about, who was anointed of God, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus did, right? All. He healed all who were oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God. They were oppressed of the devil, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're seeing something about God's will, aren't we? Yeah. Amen. Well, what did God do with the Israelites in the wilderness? Or when they were in Egypt, they were in slavery. It was God's will that they'd be in slavery, right? Right? No, well, but they were in slavery. It must have been God's will. No, it wasn't God's will. Why? Because God delivered them. Why would God will them? Jesus said, a house divided can't stand. Why would God one day say, well, I want my people in slavery, and the next day say, yeah, I changed my mind? When the Bible clearly tells us that God does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's the same then, he's got to be the same now. How do we know? The Bible says so. I don't care what people experience. I don't care what people think. I don't care what philosophy people come up with. I don't care what ideas people come up with. I don't care what new translations people come up with. The fact of the matter is, Jesus did one thing, and that was good. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God has told us to do one thing, or he's told us to do a couple things, but a couple of those things were trust him and do good. Amen. Now, I see that theme all through Scripture. I see it over and over and over again. It seems like God just magnifies it more and more. So we need to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. How do we do this? By not being conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to what this world says. Praise the Lord. Don't change church because all of a sudden society is going in a different direction. Doesn't say to do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, it doesn't say start over and, well, God's doing a new thing now. Now all of a sudden all the stuff he said was bad in the Bible. Oh, God's accepting of all that just because Jesus died for you. You know that, right? You know, God's given us a free open door to sin, right? That's. But see, why do Christians think that it's okay to do that, live like that? It's because they don't do this. They don't. They're conformed to the world and not transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Well, if you look in the Bible and your mind doesn't agree with that, then you need to renew your mind. Amen. You need to change your thinking to line up with God's thinking. You need to wash your stinking thinking and get into God thinking. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because God's got good things for us. So we see this. Praise the Lord. Now, I love Brother Hagin always said this. He said, faith begins where what? The will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. What does that mean? Well, what it means is this, is you can't have faith in something because you can't trust in something that you don't know. Praise the Lord. If you don't know me, you can't trust me. And if you do, you're a fool. You don't just trust anybody coming down the street. Man, I could go out there and preach on the sidewalk. Well, I want to hear what you're preaching first. I want to understand where you're coming from. Show me in the Word where you get this new thing that you're teaching me. Oh, there's all kinds of places that don't want to, you know, they'll come up with new ideas. Well, the Spirit of God told me this. God came to me. He appeared to me. An angel appeared to me and told me to do this. That's how we get Mormonism. Because an angel appeared to someone, they believe that more than God. They believe what the angel said. Well, listen, the Bible says test the spirits. How do you test the spirits? You test them with the Word of God. You test them with the answer key. Amen? It's easy. When you got the answers. And we got the answers. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going somewhere with this, I promise you. Amen? Faith begins where the will of God is known. And so if you're going to prove what is the perfect will of God, the acceptable will of God, you're going to prove this out, amen? You can't have faith until you get there. But the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Oh, glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're making this is so easy, I'm even getting it. Amen. I just love it. Praise the Lord. It's the simplest stuff in the world. God didn't make it difficult. He gave us the Word. He told us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to go back to Mark 9:23. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. What's possible to him who believes? All things. But that word possible is an important word. Possible does not mean definite. Possible does not mean probable. But possible means, actually, if you look that word up, it means to be able. Amen. It means, praise the Lord, it means having the power to do something. Amen. But you can have the power to do something and not do it. Have you ever seen those videos? Is somebody get beat up or something on the street corner and people walking by and don't do anything? There may be power, people have the power to do something, but unless they act on it, doesn't matter. Now, if you got one person beating up another person and you got 10 people walking by, I'm sure 10 people can overpower one person. Amen. But they have to act on it. There has to be. And this is where Christians get all, this is where they get all mixed up because they think if you think that God's will is automatic on the earth, praise God, hallelujah, then you think that everything, you're not going to trust him. You're not going to trust in him. You're not going to trust him for things that seem impossible. Jesus said all things are possible. But if you believe it's impossible, it ceases to become possible. Does it cease to become possible for God? No. It ceases to become possible for you. If you don't believe God, if you don't trust God, then the possibility just ended. Amen. But Jesus is saying that the possibility is endless if you trust him. No, praise the Lord. I'm going to trust God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to speak to that tree in the backyard. You start growing money instead of apples. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You got to know what the will of God is. How do we know the will of God in money trees? Well, if he had desired money trees on the earth, he would have planted money trees on the earth. Amen. What do we get when we get to look back at the Garden of Eden? Praise God. Hallelujah. God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he filled it with all kinds of stuff. Hallelujah. Everything that Adam and Eve would ever want, he put it there before they came. He had animals in there. Praise the Lord. Pets, all different kinds of stuff. He put it all there. No money trees. Bible doesn't talk about money trees. Doesn't talk about gold trees. It talks about gold, but it was in the ground. He hid it. Why? Because you're going to work for it. Amen. Praise God. You know what faith is? Faith is working for something. Yes. Why does God like faith? Because faith is kind of an unknown factor in the sense that you have to trust completely in order to operate in it. You have to trust completely. Praise God. Well, listen, we Christians, you and I, we have put it all on the line. We have staked our eternity on faith. We have staked our eternity on what we believe from God, haven't we not? Well, what if the Muslims, have you ever had that thought come to you? What if the Muslims are right? Oh, man, we're in trouble if the Muslims are right. Just telling you. What if the Jehovah's Witnesses are right? We're in trouble if the Jehovah's Witnesses are right. What if most of the church is right? We're in trouble if most of the church is right. Why? Because God's given and taken away. Now, you understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about, when I say the church, I'm talking about the way churchy people think. And I'm not talking about just church people, because I'm not down on Christians. I love Christians. I love my brothers and sisters in all denominations, all flavors. I love them. I mean, I'm telling you, I love them. I think it's great. God does great things. And we have a lot to learn from each other, because we ain't got it all figured out either. Amen. And that's what I mean is the church as a whole. I mean, there's so many things that we miss. And this is a big thing right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you can believe all things are possible, they will not definitely happen. There is not a guarantee that they will happen unless you believe. But when you believe, now the door opens to all things. Praise the Lord. And see, when you believe, when you have the will of God, when you start, having a relationship with God, God will reveal his will to you more and more and more, especially in line with the word as you study the word and you learn about the Holy Spirit and you follow the Holy Spirit, all these wonderful things that God has given us to know, you can know the will more and more and more, and then it makes it easy. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can tell you one thing that the will of God is not. The will of God is not running around trying to figure out life. And that's what most people are doing. Most people are running around trying to figure out life. And God didn't tell us to do that. You know, when we try to figure out, how are we going to do this? Or how are we going to do that? When we do that, we stop trusting God for those things. Because Jesus actually told us matter-of-factly that you need to trust me in this area so much so that you need to not think about it. Praise God. I haven't arrived yet. Not there yet. I'm working at it. I'm working at it really hard, because the thing that I see in the word is I see that God says to lay down all your thoughts about how you're gonna and just follow me and I'll take you into it. I'll lead you into it. I'll lead you into that place where there's blessing. I'll lead you into that place where there's increase. I'll lead you to that place. You know, I just love what he did with Elijah. You know what he did? He sent Elijah somewhere, didn't he? And when he sent him somewhere, he fed him there. He watered him there. Everything. He sent birds. He air flighted his food into him. Praise the Lord. Why did he do that? Because he took care of somebody who was going to listen to him. Yeah. Elijah trusted him. Elijah had to trust him. He had no other choice. He was facing getting killed or trusting God. Yeah. He chose trust in God. Aren't you glad? Amen. And it gave us to us, it gave him to us as an example, not as an example of say, oh, look what God did once, but he probably won't ever do it again. Why would he do it with me? I don't know why God would bail me out. But see, what Christians do is they build their lives in such a way sometimes that that's devoid of following God and following his plan. They want God to just bless it, and God will bless them because God's a loving father. He'll bless them as far as he can, but there's always aspects of God's of things that God has for you that you won't get into until you've completely given your trust over to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, as a pastor, one thing I learn over and over and over again is that I got to learn to trust God, because I don't understand what he's telling me to do sometimes and having me do in the direction. You say, well, he's telling you, yeah, he's telling me to do stuff. God shows me to do things. See, a lot of people don't believe that kind of stuff, and those are people that never experience God. It's sad to me. I don't want to never experience God. God is a God that is to be experienced. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes people experience God too much. And what I mean by that is they get too uber spiritual and they're experiencing God all the time. It's not God at all because it doesn't line up with the word or whatever. But that's free, no charge. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you can believe. If you can believe. If you can trust or rely on God. If you can trust fully in him. If you can do that. And whatever you're asking for. In whatever you're seeking him for, if you can totally put it in his hands and honestly say, I trust you, God. So what's our goal then in life? What are we to do as Christians? Our goal should be nothing more than learning how to trust God. That's it. We need to be seeking his face. You know, I promise we read that in 2 Chronicles, was it chapter 7, 14, somewhere around, or something like that, where it says, if you'll turn from your wicked ways, if you'll seek my face, right? It's not his hand. But what are Christians doing? They're getting down in prayer and they're saying, Lord, deliver me. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Lord, help me here. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Lord, where's the fellowship with God? How about getting down on your knees and saying, Lord, I just love you so much. You're so good to me. You've never left me nor forsaken me. You supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. I'm just reading scripture. What about if we start doing that? God, you lead me. You always lead me by still waters and green pastures. Why? Because he's my shepherd, and that's what he does. Amen? I said he leads, but that doesn't mean we follow. And see, this is where the disconnect is because God is trying to show us things. He's trying to lead us into things, but people just don't listen. They're just not, they look at the word and they make the word complicated. They say, well, I don't know if I can believe God will answer every one of my prayers. Why can you not believe it? Did you believe that Jesus died for you? Yeah, you believe that. Amen. Do you trust that he has died and paid away so you can get into heaven? Yes, you believe that. Well, that same Jesus said that you can move any mountain if you speak to it and believe. If you trust when you say it, praise the Lord. He promised that. He didn't say, look for me to move mountains. He said, you move them. And I know we say this stuff over and over, but we have got years and years and years of bad stuff in us, bad teaching in us. And I don't mean that everybody who taught us was bad. Don't twist my words. Praise God. What I'm saying is there's a lot of bad teaching out there that just isn't true. Praise God. You know, I don't love it, but I have Christians say this to me all the time, and that's why I rail on this stuff. I have Christians say to me all the time, well, we know God's in control. If God is just controlling everything, and that goes right back to that Calvinistic idea that God is just manipulating and controlling everything the way he wants it, and it's just going to be that way. Some people, I mean, there's Christians out there that believe that God has determined that some Christians will go to heaven, or some people go to heaven, and he has determined that some people will not. That is not truth. Praise the Lord, because the Bible tells us exactly the opposite of that. Praise the Lord. But some people believe in that line of thinking. They just want to hold to that. And so they think that God is manipulating everything and that nothing happens unless it first comes through his hands and God says okay to it. No, God, listen, wouldn't it be counterproductive to instruct people to do something, make it impossible for them to do it, and then shake things every once in a while by doing completely different than the way you told them you would do it? Yeah. Would that be productive at all? What kind of maniac would do such a thing? But people look at God like he's doing this. Like he's like, all of a sudden he's like, well, I know that I told you this, this, and this, but yeah, just scrap all that because I changed it. God, I woke up and you know something? You know, they really ticked me off over here in this side of the country. So I'm just gonna do things differently than I always have. Praise the Lord. He wouldn't say praise the Lord. I don't know. Maybe you pray. I don't know. Praise God. Would God say praise the Lord? I'm saying praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But, you know, I'll just come up with stuff. I'm just going to, you know, I'd like to shake things up a little bit. So we're going to knock some buildings down, or we're going to send a hurricane in to wipe out a bunch of people that, man, they didn't even get a chance. They didn't get a preacher yet. They didn't even get somebody that got to them yet. But we're just going to wipe them off the face of the earth because, you know, heaven's getting kind of full. And after all, you know, we do need to stoke the fires in hell a little bit. So we might as well throw a few more bodies in there. What kind of twisted and demented God do we serve if that's the case? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not who my God is. Praise the Lord. And that's not the God of the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn me to Philippians 4. Praise God. The truth of the word will set us free. Amen. Every single time. Praise God. Now listen, there are times because of other things that God is going to do, that Christians will walk through things that are less than desirable. Yeah. We see that with the Apostle Paul. We're about to see that. Praise the Lord. But we see that with the Apostle Paul. We see him going through. But what we also know, according to his own words, that he was always victorious, that he always came out on top. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Because that's what God has intended. Amen? Philippians 4, starting verse 10. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, I love this. Love the word. Philippians 4:10, we're going to read through verse 13. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned the state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now think about this. Paul is telling us to the Philippian church, he's telling the Philippian church, but he's telling us as well, that he knows how to abase and how to abound. Now listen, there's a lot of us that don't know how to abound when we think about it that way, and there's a lot of us that really know how to abase. I have been a person in my life, I really know how to base. If you want to know how to base, I can tell you. I can teach you, praise the Lord. I can teach you how to fail. I can teach you how to not make the mark. I can teach you how to get into poverty real quick, praise the Lord. I teach you all these things. It's not what he's talking about. He's like, I know how to live. I know how to do it when I'm in that place. When it seems like everything is leaving me, I know how to act. I know how to stay in faith. I know how to, why? Because he trusted God. He trusted God. This is not Paul saying, I'm just constantly up and down in life, and I never know what to do. You know, I said, we watched that Apostle Paul movie, and it was so sad to see it. Oh, it was so sad because it made Paul look like this weak Christian that didn't really even believe in God, didn't trust in God, wishy-washy, up and down, ping pong Christian. He wasn't. That's not the way the Apostle Paul was. God couldn't have used him if that's the way he was. Is that the way Jesus was? Did Jesus not know? Did Jesus go around going, I just don't know what to do, guys? What do you think? How many times did Jesus ask his disciples what they thought? Praise the Lord. And you do know, this is something that a lot of people have a hard time understanding, but Jesus was here as a man, full of the Holy Spirit, but he was here as a man. He operated as a man. He didn't operate as God. Amen. If he operated as God, he would have gone around and flowers would be popping up and we would have heard about all, the animals just following him around and stuff. If he was here, he wasn't here. He was here as a man. He lived as a man who was full of the Holy Spirit. Why did he do that? Because he was sending the Holy Spirit to the earth that we were supposed to receive, right? He was sending that Holy Spirit to us, and he needed to show us what life was like with the Holy Spirit when you follow him completely. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so simple to me. Like, and maybe this is just because, maybe this is because of my GED. I don't know, maybe that's why I received it that simply, but I'm just telling you the truth. It's not that hard to figure out. And yet Christians all the time, they look around and they're like, they can't see that connect. They think that Jesus, they see Jesus as this pauper going around just trying to barely, just barely getting along. Yes, Jesus went through things on earth, but he was victorious. Praise the Lord. He said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He said, you will have tribulation. He promised us that. But he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome it. Amen. Paul says, I know how to go through this. How did Paul know how to go through this? He spent like 4 years in the wilderness with Jesus. Post-ascension, that's a big word. Post-ascension. That's where Paul spent. That's Jesus that got it all done. That's Jesus that's already taken care of it. That's already figured it out. He ain't going backwards trying to figure it out again. No, he's already figured it out. He's already made it there. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. He spent all that time with him. Jesus taught him one-on-one. Hallelujah. Well, that's pretty awesome. Amen. Not most of us can't say that. But here, this is how Jesus dealt with him. Paul knew who his God was. He knew how to operate. He knew how to go around. He knew that he didn't have to worry when he was abasing because he knew that he has served a God who is abounding. But he also knew that there was times where, because of the work of the Lord, he was going to be put in certain situations that didn't necessarily look good. See, if you look at the world, if you follow the world, if you take your counsel from the world, if you're conformed to the world, none of this is going to make sense to you. The Bible says it's foolishness to those who are perishing. Foolishness. It's foolishness to them. That's why if Christians act like the world, they're acting like the fool, the those that are perishing. Amen? And it will be foolishness to you. This is why you can go into church and you could preach the same Bible, and yet people can disagree with it. Why? Because they haven't renewed their mind. They think the way they want to think. They think according to their opinions. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now going on, this is a very important thing because this is a scripture that we love. Amen. Every Christian probably knows this scripture. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's he telling us in the scripture? He is not telling you that you can go out and just do anything you want because Christ strengthened you. He's saying, I know how to abase and I know how to abound, and this is how I do it. I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't rely on my ability. I don't rely on my power. I don't look to what I can do or what my finances say or what my friends say or what the church is saying. I look to Christ who strengthens me. Christ strengthens me. See, we misquote the scripture all the time. We're saying, I can do it. We put it on pillows because it's really nice to have pillows. And we put it on wall hangings because, heck, we love to walk into a room and see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That makes me feel so good about myself. But that is not what Paul was saying. Paul was not saying that. He was saying that when you're in the will of God, when you're following the plan of God, it doesn't matter what it looks like because Christ strengthens you. And if you know this, you'll always get through it. But if you don't know this, you're going to be the Christian who's laying there crying. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how we're going to get by. I don't know how we're going to make it work. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Christians should never not know. They're always supposed to know. Why? Because God came and lived on the inside of you. And if he's on the inside of you, the knowledge to everything that is in the entire universe is just waiting for you to tap into it. But will you tap into it? Will you say, you know what? This is something for me. This is something I know. I have every answer I need. Praise the Lord. What do you do? How do you receive trial? Well, that's no big trial. What if the devil threw something at you and you looked in and you're like, you know what? That's not a big deal. And your friends are looking at you like, you're nuts. Why do you say that's not a big deal? That's a huge deal. But see, it is a big deal if it was me. But Christ is in me strengthening me. Christ is my ability. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What did Christ do? Praise God. If you have need to walk on water, I'm just going to tell you the truth. Praise the Lord. If you have need to heal the sick, then I'm just going to tell you the truth. Christ strengthens you. That same Jesus, he didn't change. The Bible told us he's the same. If he was the same when he was here, and he's the same today, and he's the same tomorrow, then what changed? What idea change? How do people mentally grasp this concept? How do they grasp the concept, the idea that God, that Jesus is doing things so completely different than he always did them? I don't get it. Praise the Lord. I just don't get it. And the more that I read the scripture, the less I get it. Because the scripture keeps leading me farther away from that stuff. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the next time you hear a Christian say that, say, do you know what that really means? Do you know what that really means? When you're going through the trial, are you in the will of God? This is the first thing. Are you in the will of God? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. My brother Justin and I were together today, this morning, having coffee. Praise God. We were talking about something or other. I even asked him that about something. I said, are you in the will of God? He said, yes, sir, I am. Praise the Lord. You ain't got to worry about it. Hallelujah. How does he know he's in the will of God? Well, he spends time with God. Amen. You know, you can know if you're, he spends time in the Word. You can know if you're in the will of God. How do you know if you're in the will of God? Well, because I try to follow the Bible the best I can.
That's right.
And I spend time in prayer. I seek God. I say, Lord, am I in your will?
Yeah.
Do you know I said that today? I said, Lord, am I in your will? Praise the Lord. I didn't just say that to him. I say that to myself all the time. Am I in the will of God? Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? How many times do we go to God and say that? Everything. It seems good. It seems like this is something that we do. God, is this your will? I don't ask God if this is a good program according to my standard. I say, God, is this what you want me to do? Is this what you would have me to do? Because when we know that it's what God has us to do, then we know that we have Christ strengthening us, and then we know that we can abase, we can abound. It doesn't matter what comes at us, because it's not about what's coming at us. It's about what's inside of us trying to come out of us. Praise the Lord. When Jesus needed food to feed a bunch of people, he didn't look outwardly. He didn't look at the loaves and the fish. He looked inwardly. He looked at the Holy Spirit for direction on what to do. And he knew what to do, and he set them up. Praise the Lord. But Jesus didn't just look to the Holy Spirit in that moment. The situation didn't arise, and Jesus just came up and said, all right, I better pray about this. This is where a lot of Christians are. Something rises. Oh, we better pray about this. No, you better be in prayer just continually. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. You need to be seeking God all the time. If you're only seeking God when you're in trial, you aren't going to get your answer. You're going to fail. Praise the Lord. People wonder why sometimes the trial is so hard to get over when the Bible promises us that we can move mountains. It's because people aren't spending time with the mountain mover. They're spending time with, you know, Facebook, or they're spending time with the TV, or they're spending time, you know, at the bar, or they're spending time talking to their buddies and trying to figure out, you know, the next great theology. They're not spending time with the one who told them, put the ability on the inside of them. And if you're not spending time with that one, when the mountain comes, you ain't going to be able to move it. Why? Because faith begins where the will of God is known. And if you don't know where the will of God is, you ain't ever going to be able to move anything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do whatever God has called me to do. Again, this is why it's important to know what God has called you to do. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan for us. He has got a purpose for us, right? We love that scripture. You need to know what that is. You need to know what that plan and that purpose is. You need to know what God is calling you to do. You need to know where God is leading you. And if you don't know, then you need to spend time with him until you do know. Hallelujah. But there's so many people that are like, you know, praise God. I'm just telling you the truth. I sit here as a pastor, and there's lots of things. You know, I've got things that I can do to put me in a better position, to put this church in a better position. There's lots of things I can do. Amen. And I'm talking about financially. But you know, the Lord is always stopping me from doing that stuff. And I'm always sitting there and I'm like, ah, but here's an opportunity. And I get the direction in my spirit. No, let it go. Let it go. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He tells me to let it go, to let just watch it go by. I've watched opportunity to make money. I've watched opportunity to be something. I've watched opportunity to have all the things I want. I've watched it go by. Praise God. Why does he have me do that? Because obviously God gives and takes away. Duh! Stupid Christian. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, let it go. Spend time with me. I will provide. God, I'm telling you this. I've been saying this to some people lately, and some people might call me a heretic. I don't know. I'm just saying, because in the Word, I just don't see it. I don't see anywhere in the Word where we are told to sit there and seek God constantly, over and over, for our needs. In fact, one of the most, our most beloved set of scriptures in Matthew, where Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They neither toil nor spin. They don't do anything. They don't do anything. They just know their Father. They just know He'll provide. They trust in God. Praise the Lord. Why are we going to God? I'm not saying that you can't ask God for something. That's not what I'm saying at all. God wants us to ask Him. Amen. But really what we see in the Word, it doesn't appear to me that we see anywhere. And if you could find some place, well, you know, show me and I'll be corrected. Praise the Lord. But I just don't see that. I see Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as you ask for them. They will be added to you. Added to. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you're just flip, or not, don't even flip. Just, we're going to go down a few verses. Look what it says in Philippians 4:19. Oh, that Christians would believe it. Because here is the, now you have to keep this in context, and you have to understand about what the Philippian church was doing. These scriptures are talking about the Philippian church giving. They are giving an offering. Praise the Lord. They were eager to do it. They wanted to do it. They're on board with God. They're like, just give us opportunity. He said you were willing to give, but you lacked opportunity. And they're just like, give me a chance to give. Have you ever known somebody like that? I've known some people like that. They're blessed people. Amen. Praise the Lord. They're giving to the plan of God. They're increasing the plan of God. Praise the Lord. And then what does he say here? He goes, first of all, you get the grace to do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So even though if I have purpose in my heart to do these things, God's promised that it'll come to pass. But then it brings us down to Philippians 4:19, and it says, and my God. Hallelujah. I love that Paul calls him my God. He didn't say your God. He said my God. He's my God. How? Do you look at God like somebody else's God? No, it always makes me mad when somebody goes to my church, and if you said this recently, I don't think anyone in here has, but if you said this recently, I forgive you. But it always makes me mad when someone in my church, praise the Lord, says your church. Yeah. What do you mean, my church? You don't go here? Yeah. If you go here, this is your church. This is where God's called you. This is where God's blessed you. This ain't my church. This is your church too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is where God has brought us together. My God. He's my God. He ain't. You can take him too, but he's my God. Hallelujah. You understand. He placed ownership on him. Why did he do that? Because he fully trusted in God. He knew something that other people weren't knowing. Amen. Oh, praise God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Wow. I guess that was just for the Philippians, though. That was just for the Philippians, right? That's right. Amen, sister. Hallelujah. Yeah. This was just for the Philippians. It doesn't count for us. Praise the Lord. You know, the ability to do this just passed away with the last apostle, the last disciple. No, it doesn't tell us that, does it? Praise God. Hallelujah. Because these are written for us as well as them. Amen. We're told that in Timothy, right? One of the Timothys, we're told that all scripture is written for our benefit. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we see that God's desire is to supply. And how does God supply? He supplies the one who withholds. He supplies the one who says, I can't do it. He supplies the one that says, well, you know, God, I had bills to pay. I'm sure the Philippians had bills to pay. Why? Because they were human. Hallelujah. They had to live. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I can stand that. Somebody will accuse me of being money-minded or something. But praise God. Hallelujah. But God wants to supply. But my needs aren't just in some financial form. You know what my needs come in? My needs come in all kinds. For sometimes I need direction. Yeah. My God shall supply all your needs. Yeah. All your needs. What do I need? I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to get beyond this trial that I'm facing. What if you're facing a trial with somebody in your family or your spouse or something like that? My God shall supply all my needs. He answers me every time. Lord, you show me what to do. Yes. Praise the Lord. I go to God and I say, Lord, show me what to do with this situation. I don't know. Show me how to help them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Paul knew God's will. How do we know that Paul knew God's will? Well, he's dealing with the Philippian church here, isn't he? Now, there's some other stuff about the Philippian church. It's pretty interesting as it pertains to Paul. Don't you want to know? Turn with me to Acts 16. how do we know that the Philippians, that Paul, that they were in the will of God? How do we know that? Praise God. Acts 16, verses 6 through 12. Praise God, hallelujah. Now, they had gone through Phrygia. I think I said that right. If not, well, Pyrgia. And the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word. Ooh, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of preach right in here. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. See, you ain't supposed to say something everywhere you go. You need to seek God and know what you're supposed to say when you're supposed to say it. Otherwise, you're relying on your ability. You know, there's a lot of Christians that go around, they just speak everywhere they go. They always are just saying something, and they're not always being effective. I'm not saying that they're always doing it against God, but I'm just telling you, you need to know, because you can go waste your time. Do you want to waste your time?
No.
Listen, if the Lord knows that you're not going to get any help, and they've already been reached in this town, why would you want to go spend time there trying to reach somebody?
Right?
You know what I'm saying? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just free, no charge. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit did not permit them. So the Spirit, these people that are, you know, these are these goofy spirit-led Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, crazy weirdos. Praise God. The Spirit didn't permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Oh my God, is a Christian having visions? Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've known a lot of Christians that are having visions that aren't right. Praise the Lord. So I'm not just saying every vision. We got to test the spirits, right? Amen. But he saw a vision in the night, and a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Yeah. Macedonia. That's what I was seeing there. I'm kind of hungry, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I like donuts. It's been a while since I had a donut, so praise God. Macedonia. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So God didn't give him all the information. He just said, go there, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. Well, praise the Lord. And the next day came to Neapolis, that's what I'll say. Praise the Lord. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia. See, when I was preparing this, I didn't read. I just skimmed past all those. I should have practiced. Amen. And from there to Philippi. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Because you know how it is.
Yeah.
You know full well. You get into that so-and-so begat, so-and-so, and so-and-so begat, so, and you just skip right to the end. You know you do.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the Bible says every scripture is good. Amen. Praise. Every scripture is good. Just some of it, there's a lot in it. Amen. There's a lot of repetition there. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. That's the beginning of the Philippian church. This was the direction from God to go to Philippi. Why did he know the direction of God to go to Philippi? Because he was well acquainted with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He knew where the Spirit was going to lead him. Praise the Lord. So he followed that Spirit to the end. He followed him everywhere he went.
Yeah.
Now we know what happened to Paul and Silas there when they got there, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they face some opposition?
Yeah.
What do you mean? God sent me here and all of a sudden I'm facing all this opposition? I must have heard wrong. I must not be in God's will. Why, just because you're in God's will doesn't mean you're going to have opposition? Didn't you read the scripture? Jesus said it would.
Yeah.
Jesus said you would have opposition. Why? Why do you think you have opposition? Oh, obviously because God hates you. Or obviously because God's against you. Or obviously because God wants to set you back.
No.
Foolishness. He doesn't trying to set you back. You have opposition because the devil doesn't want you preaching in Philippi.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's exactly why they didn't want this, because the devil knew that a church like the Philippians are probably going to supply the work of God, and he didn't want them to be generous in the work of God, because there was no, Paul told us, no one else was doing it. It was just the Philippians. But see, that would have never happened if he wasn't led by the Spirit. He wouldn't have known where to go. See, he was proving out what God's perfect will was, and that God's perfect will took him somewhere where there was opposition. But Paul said, it doesn't matter that there's opposition, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And how could he say that to the Philippians? Because he learned it when he got there. Because when he went through the opposition, guess what? Christ strengthened him because he trusted in God. They were singing praises in jail. Why were they singing praises in jail? Because they knew God. See, you won't sing to God if you don't know God. If you don't trust God, when there's trial, you're going to just sit there and cry. You're not going to praise him, because you'll have no reason to praise him because you don't know God. But if you know God, you're going to praise him, because you know that even if you are in jail, you can't stay there, because the Holy Spirit has this tendency to break people out of bondage. Hallelujah. See, there's something that God wants to do on this earth, but Christians aren't going to get there if Christians don't start trusting him. They're not going to get there if they don't start moving with him, if they don't start learning the Holy Ghost, if they don't start getting full of the Holy Ghost and saying, God, show me what you want me to do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when it says it, it knows it. See, we don't just repeat scripture. We know it. We learn it. We get it in us. We let it change us. Because when scripture changes us, we can change the world. Hallelujah. Jesus is just waiting for us to trust him. God's not withholding anything from his people. The Bible promises us he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Who's one who walks uprightly? Well, Paul did. But guess what? You can in Mayville, New York. You can in Jamestown, New York. You can in Sherman, New York. Hallelujah. You can in Faulkner, or out there in the boondocks of New York. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I got, you all know I mentioned once in a while I like to do a little Instagramming once in a while. But my Instagram name or ID is KOFCR. 76. People are like, what does that mean? It means King of Chautauqua Ridge. I live on Chautauqua Ridge, and I'm the King of Chautauqua Ridge. You say, well, that's pretty bold. How do you say that? You know how I say it? Because I know what God has made me. He's made me a king. He's made me a priest. Hallelujah. Not just because I'm a pastor. The Bible says we've all been made kings and priests. Hallelujah. How can you be a child of a king and not be in line for a king? I am the King of Chautauqua Ridge. What am I doing? I'm claiming my authority where I live. Amen? That's my hill. I don't care what all you others think. That's my hill up there. I have authority on that hill. Absolutely. The devil come knocking on that hill. I have authority on hill. That's my hill. Praise the Lord. You would do well to start claiming a little kingship or queenship in your home. My place. This is where God has anointed me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is where God has set me free. This is where God blesses me. I ain't looking to leave this town. Why? Because God blesses me here. I know a good thing when I see it, man. As long as them ravens keep coming and that stream keeps running and keeps me wet, praise the Lord, I'm staying right here. Hallelujah. Why? Because God blesses me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And he's blessing you too. Hallelujah. You just got to know it. Just got to know something. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. King of Chautauqua Ridge, just remember that. Praise. I even wrote a little poem. Go on my thing, and I got a little poem there that just tells you all about that. Praise. I ain't going to read it. We don't read poems in church. You can't read poems in church. Hallelujah. You know better than that, Pastor Renee. We can... Huh? We're not nice. We're mean. We're a mean church. We don't like people either. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's a joke. Somebody will take that out. That's why I can't ever be president. Well, that's one of many. Praise the Lord. Every time I say that, you just know that's another reason. Just chalk it up another reason. That's another reason, but I ain't called to be president, so praise the Lord. John 14. John 14. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now we're getting into good stuff here in the last few minutes. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is what you have been waiting for all night while you've sat here and listened to me hoot and holler and jump around. This is what you've been waiting for, and you don't even know it yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because I know that he always will. Amen. Praise God. John 14, verse 12. Praise God. We're going to go all the way through verse 27. So just hold on. We'll get there. Jesus said, most assuredly. Ooh, that's a bold statement right there. Most assuredly. When you start something off with most assuredly, you say there is no doubt. The other day, I could not find my keys. I could not find my keys, and so I called my wife because it was her fault that I could not find my keys. And I told her, I always know where my keys are. That's what I told her. Most assuredly, I know where my keys are. I was bold. I called her a few minutes later to let her know that I don't always know where my keys are, because they fell out of my pocket, were in the couch cushions. It was my fault. Praise the Lord. I even got Caleb on the phone and yelled at him a little bit too. Where did you put my keys? Well, I gave them to you, Dad. No, you didn't, because I don't have them. Most assuredly, praise the Lord, I'm just telling on myself a little bit. I apologize, though, didn't I? I sent her a message with my tail between my legs. You could sense that, right? That the tail. Most assuredly, there is no doubt. Most assuredly, there is no doubt. This is the absolute truth. If you don't get anything else I say, listen to what I'm saying right now. That's what most assuredly means, if you didn't know. Praise the Lord. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes, trusts in, relies on in me. Praise the Lord. He who believes, he who trusts in, relies on me. He who puts all eggs in this basket. He who looks at me and says, this everything he says is truth. I go with it. I don't care what it looks like in the flesh. Everything, Jesus said. He who trusts in me completely with his whole being and does not doubt, does not lack one bit of doubt, one shred of doubt. Praise the Lord. The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Praise the Lord. Jesus was saying this when he was alive, about after he was dead and risen again. Hallelujah. Ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God. This is what he was referring to. Guess where Jesus is right now? He's still in that place. He's still in that place that he was talking about. Coming up, because I go to my Father. That's why. Why? Because I go to my Father. The works that I do, he will do. Why? Because I go to my Father. Jesus is still with his Father. See, it's so funny that some Christians can believe that Jesus is still up there doing the same thing he's always been doing, making intercession for us. But for some reason, Jesus is up there saying, no, they can't heal anymore. There is nothing in Scripture that will ever tell you that healing does not exist for today. There is a lot of Christians that will tell you the healing does not exist today. But they are Christians that do not trust in God for healing. Why do Christians not see it? Because Christians don't believe it. I said Christians don't believe it. They don't trust in it. Listen, when you trust in it, you say, you can't change my mind on it. You can bring up all your theology. You can come up with all the books you want, all your ideas, and you can show me examples of Christians that aren't healed. But I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus said, see, you would do a real good to start telling people what Jesus said and stop telling them what you think. Hallelujah. I'm not here to tell you what I think. I'm here to tell you what Jesus said. Hallelujah. I'm here to preach the word, not my ideas. I'm not here to give you, praise the Lord, the poem. Hallelujah. I'm not here to do those things for you. I'm here to give you the word of God. Because when you start believing the word of God, then your life and everyone's life around you is going to start changing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We're believing for revival, right? This is right where revival starts, right here. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is where it starts. The works that I will do, he will do also, and greater works than these, he will do because I go to my Father. And furthermore, praise the Lord, on top of that, and on top of your great works that you will do, the greater works that you will do. Everybody say the greater works.
Greater works.
On top of the greater works that you do, praise the Lord, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Are we supposed to be glorifying God less today? Are we supposed to, I mean, the Bible says we go from glory to glory. So God doesn't? God should be glorified less on the earth today than he was then? Praise the Lord. It doesn't tell us that. It tells us that God is to continue. Our lives are supposed to glorify God. How do you think your life glorifies God? Well, if you look over and just stay there, but if you looked over in chapter 16, praise the Lord. Mm-mm-mm. Praise the Lord. Well, I can't find it right now. Over in there, praise the Lord, look for it later. He talks about that we glorify God in our, that we, when we work, when our works, when our lives are supposed to glorify God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Where am I? Verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, and just in case you didn't get it the first time, just in case you didn't know what it meant the first time, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is where he's starting telling us, live after God, live righteously, amen? And if you do that, I will pray the Father. See, he's building on all that. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Well, praise the Lord, that he may abide with you for the next few weeks, the next few years, maybe for the first few generations and then dissipate. Nope, he's doing the same thing he always has been doing. Praise the Lord. And he might abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Amen. Hallelujah. I will not leave you orphans. Oh, but he must have left the latter church orphans. The church of 2019, this church is orphans. He promised you won't leave you orphans. If he hasn't left us orphans, he's leaving us with the same thing. We got the same babysitter, kids. Praise the Lord. We got the same director. We got the same Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost didn't change over the past 2,000 years. He might be a little bored. Yeah. Hallelujah. He might be a little bored. Why? Because Christians are just, they don't know what to do with it. They don't even know what to do with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'm glad I know. Or I'm glad I'm learning. I'm saying that. I don't know everything. I'm not even remotely saying that I am. But I have started learning the Holy Ghost in my life, amen? I do have a closer relationship with him. I've seen him work, amen? A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you live also. Praise God. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. See, we are supposed to know that we are in God. Not just because the Bible tells us so. But because there's an experience that comes along with knowing God. There's an experience that comes with being full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Oh my gosh, Jesus, what are you talking about, all this crazy stuff? You can't say all this stuff. This isn't, praise God. But it's the truth. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. You notice this is a theme here. Yeah. He will keep my word. But Pastor, we've been freed from the law. We don't have to do anything we don't have to do that. That's not what the Bible tells us. We have been freed from bondage of the law. But that doesn't mean we reject the law, throw it out, say it doesn't matter anymore. Praise God. He will keep the word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Christians saying, I don't know. And bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's the word of God. That's the word of Jesus. That's what he said to us. The works, but we have to trust. There has to be trust. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's just the truth. There has to be trust. You have to believe God. Praise the Lord. If you don't believe God, you will not see the greater works. If you don't trust God for the greater works, listen, I'm just telling you, when I was reading this and when I was getting this revelation, there was things that were stirring up in me. And some of those things are, we need to start praying more. Yeah. We need to, I mean, when I'm saying praying over people, we need to start being bolder about our faith. We need to go to people and say, you know what? I serve a God who heals. Right. I serve a God who conquers. I serve a God who is bigger than this problem. Can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? We need to be bold about these things. Right. We need to start chanting, but we gotta build it in ourselves first. Yeah. Amen. Now we are going to end. We're going to close in Hebrews 4:16. This has been a scripture, and most of you know it. It's been a scripture that's been a lot on my heart lately. Yeah. But God brought it up again when I was Hebrews 4:16. Because this is where it's all about right here. Let us therefore, you know, and before it says, seeing that we have such a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus has done all this stuff. Because he's done all that, because of what Jesus did, let us, everybody say, let us.
Let us.
Everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
Hey, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. What's the grace? It's God's unmerited favor. It's God's ability in us that we didn't deserve, but it's there for us. Therefore, let us come boldly there. What's boldly? Remember, I taught this the other day. Knowingly. It's knowing something. You know. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace for a reason, that we may obtain mercy and find grace, God's ability, God's power, God's unmerited favor. We might find that to help in time of need. Praise God. You ain't got to be able to answer questions. You ain't got to be able to do it. All you have to be able to do is come boldly to the throne. When you see somebody hurting, you say, you know what? I serve a God that heals. Praise the Lord. Let me pray over you. Praise God. Folks, we got to believe this. If we don't believe it, if we can't even practice this in our own lives, how are we going to take it to the world? God's waiting to manifest himself to the world. He wants to manifest himself to the world. But the avenue which he chose, which is the church, has been denying him for about 2,000 years. It's the truth. We need to start operating differently. We need to start believing God differently. Amen? God has amazing things that he wants to do on this earth, and they will not come to pass unless the church steps up and starts taking it. So I don't know about you, but this message stirred me. Amen? Stirred me when I put it together. It stirred me when I preached it. Glory to God. I'm just kind of fired up. I want to go out there and change some lives. Amen? Let's be the church. Praise the Lord. That the church has forgotten to be. Yeah. We aren't going to be it. We're not going to be the church that's forgotten. We're going to be the church that goes on. Amen.